kickoff. The assist is back and we're raring to go. It is, of course, brought to you in association with Free Super Tips. Myself, Warren Ashurst, Mark Langdon and Dan Charles with you to take you through all of the weekend's action. No Premier League games this weekend, but it is the FA Cup quarterfinals and we'll be looking ahead to those and the EFL action very shortly. But guys, we'll say we've had a week off and that's been because of the international break. Thomas Tuchel with his first two games in charge of England. Mark, what did you make of the two performances against Albania and Latvia?
I don't know, Warren. It's hard to say, isn't it? These internationals, you know, when there's such a difference in quality, they just don't mean anything, really. You know, in terms of what does this mean for the World Cup, doesn't mean anything. You know, you're not going to beat Albania and win a World Cup. You're not going to beat Latvia and win a World Cup. I didn't watch all of the 180 minutes. I was sort of dipping in and dipping out. I suppose, you know, what you would say from what I saw was that it wasn't a million miles off what, you know, what Gareth Southgate was serving up, you know, and even there was even a couple of chances Latvia had, you know, what one in particular. So I still have my concerns about the defence at the very highest level. Biggest question mark has got to be Phil Foden. You know, we went into the last Euros not knowing what his best position sort of was for England in terms of where he fit into the team. You know, out on the right, he didn't impress again. And there are other players that are more suited maybe to those wide positions. Bowen, you know, plays there often for West Ham. Eze sort of plays out wide. Yeah, I'm not sure Rashford was amazing either. So those wide positions, be interesting to see how those kind of develop over the next 12 months. But I mean, one thing we're absolutely clear on, and I've seen some people saying, you know, maybe Harry Kane needs to be dropped and, you know, we need to think for the future there. There's no way Thomas Tuchel's doing that. You know, Kane's his man. And I think we take it for granted just how many goals he scores and how easy he finds scoring at international level. And, you know, I certainly wouldn't be advising that we look for a Kane replacement just yet.
No, but there were quite a few other faces, shall we say, Dan, that maybe we're not quite used to seeing as much in recent years with England. And Reece James got himself a goal, and as did Lewis Miles Skelly as well.
Yeah, those two impressed. The one that impressed me the most, and he wasn't involved in any of the particular goals, but I just thought it struck me how at home he looked at international level was Morgan Rogers. I thought he just looked at ease out there. His movement was excellent. He just looked like he looked more comfortable on the stage than say Marcus Rashford did, who just looked. To me, he looked like he was having a real struggle out there. Lots of chances to put decent deliveries in and just, you know, put in a string of poor crosses. I thought Morgan Rogers looked good. It's very hard to judge any of the defence because you're up against teams, especially Latvia, who are, you know, barely going past the halfway line. But no, Rogers was the one for me that I think he could actually, you talk about them wide positions, he may actually come through and nail a place down.
So you think that, Dan, you think that, I mean, Kasaka's going to play out on the right, I would assume. In the really big games, you imagine it will be Rice, one other, and Bellingham in central midfield. So you think Rodgers could sort of play out on that, what's becoming it's a bit of an old school one, isn't it? The problematic left-hand side. You think he could play there? Because I've always sort of preferred him through the middle, I suppose.
I think he's probably more suited through the middle, but him and Bellingham, didn't they, played in the same side against Latvia? And then, yeah, that's the way I can see it going. I thought it was noticeable with him that he was one of the attacking players, few attacking players that did last the 90 minutes against Latvia. And also, when you mentioned about Kane, what I did notice as well was there was more energy from him and much more of a press from him than we saw, you know, last summer. I know it's against a poor team, but I noticed there was a bit more spring in his step, shall we say.
So England starting then with two wins, a few questions still for Thomas Tuchel, but we're going to concentrate now on domestic matters as well. As we mentioned earlier, no Premier League games this week, and we'd normally, of course, have a big match of the week, but we're going to give equal time to all four of the FA Cup quarterfinals, and we'll start off with Saturday's early game. It's at Craven Cottage, where Fulham play host to Crystal Palace. Fulham 13-10 to claim the victory in 90 minutes. It's Palace 11-5 and the draw 11-5. Mark, I think the one thing to point out from this straight away when you look at it is just how evenly matched probably these two teams are.
Yeah, I mean, if you watch it on YouTube, you would have just seen me sort of scratch my head. And I think it is a real head scratcher, really, this game. There isn't much between the two teams. Fulham are 6 points ahead of Palace in the Premier League. But I think that's pretty easily explained by Palace's poor start to the campaign. They, you know, weren't quite ready. You know, Elise leaving and they sort of new look defence. Wharton was injured. So I think there were reasons as to why Palace started the season. So I was going to say averagely, it was even below average. But over the course of the last few months, you know, they've probably been better than Fulham. But then you got the home advantage factor for Fulham. So I think you're right. And the sort of bookmakers agree, don't they, that you kind of read out those prices. And it's a tight one. You know, I don't want to give away the tip too early, but you know, you wouldn't be surprised if it went beyond 90 minutes.
I mean, Palace won the league fixture at Craven Cottage 2-0, Dan, and they come into this in great form at the moment.
Yeah, Palace won, you know, 2-0 Craven Cottage, but when Fulham won the reverse fixture, they are kind of teams, if you look through their records, that, you know, home advantage isn't necessarily worth a great deal to them. Palace for quite a while now have been a very strong counter-attacking team, you know, that performs well away from home. So I agree with what Mark's just said, that there isn't a great deal to choose between the teams. Both have an excellent seasons. Fulham still kind of in the mix for that European qualification, aren't they? Palace may be a little bit too far off for that, but certainly, you know, an FA Cup quarter-final, they're both going to be giving everything to reach the next stage.
Dan just mentioned what I was going to point out there, Mark, whether that might have an impact, but Fulham can still qualify, you would think, maybe for Europe via the league. Palace too far away. Will that be something that maybe plays on the mind?
No. I wouldn't have thought. Well, I mean, it shouldn't do. We'll get to the Nottingham Forest game later on, and Nuno's sort of got more of a decision to make there, because you're talking about Champions League qualification. Now, the FA Cup is going to be everything to Fulham and Palace's season, and rightly so. Fulham have taken this competition seriously from the start, and so have Palace. Palace had a half-decent run, didn't they, in the League Cup as well. So, you know, Glasner, I think in certain years, maybe Crystal Palace haven't always taken these cups seriously, and I think Roy Hodgson was thinking primarily about Premier League survival, but you know, Glasner does want to have cup runs. So no, I think these two teams are going to be at full strength. I'm not one that believes in sort of these bogey teams, but I was speaking to a Fulham fan that I've not looked into it myself, so I'm taking this on trust, but he was telling me that Fulham never beat Crystal Palace at Craven Cottage. It's become sort of one of them things that Palace enjoy their trips to by the River Thames.
Yeah, that may well be significant. I mean, we looked at the recent form of Palace. Dan, we said they're on a good run as well. And that has been in the last couple of games without Mateta, who we believe is going to be back fit and playing in this quarterfinal.
Yeah, that'll be a huge boost for them. You've got Eze, will be, you know, buzzing as well, won't it, after his goal for England as well against Latvia. Ismail Assar has really kicked on after a slowish start to the season. So they've got a lot going for them, Crystal Palace, and there'll be, you know, even if they get through this tie, I think there could be a danger even to some of the really big teams, you know, if they get through later in the competition.
Okay, well, that's the thoughts of Mark and Dan. But in terms of the bets, what are we looking at here? Your selection first, Mark.
I'm going to go for a draw in 90 minutes. Wouldn't be surprised if we went all the way to penalties. Fulham needed penalties to see off United in the last round. I think as well, because it's settled on the day, the home team, you know, they don't really have to push. They've got 120 minutes to get the job done. So if there was a replay, you can imagine that after 65, 70 minutes, there'd be more of an onus on Fulham to, you know, to want to get the win and maybe go for it. But both of these managers will be fully aware that it's not about doing it in 90 minutes. You've got 120 minutes, maybe penalties to get through to Wembley. The prize on offer is already considerable. A trip to Wembley should never be sniffed at. Most of the sort of big teams are out of the FA Cup, so there is, you know, a realistic chance of reaching a final, maybe even winning it. So I think all of that together sort of brings about a big game, tension, not many goals, and that brings a draw very much into play.
Do you think it's a similar story, Dan, from your perspective?
I do. I've got the same bet. It's one of them. When I first saw the fixture, I fancied Palace to get a result. But then you look at the, as Mark's mentioned, it's been more than taken, you know, account of by the market. You know, Fulham have got home advantage. They're odds against. So I can't really make a fantastic value case for Palace. I do think it'll be really tight. Both teams will be prepared to go the distance. And that's what I think may well happen.
Okay, well, just to confirm, it's a 12:15 kickoff at Craven Cottage for Fulham and Crystal Palace. It could well be way past lunchtime by the time that things are concluded in that All London affair. The 5:15 kickoff on Saturday is another old Premier League clash as well, and it takes place at the Amex Stadium, where Brighton take on Nottingham Forest. Brighton 4-5 to claim the victory in 90 minutes. It's 31-10 Forest. And the draw is 29-10. Dan, we'll start with you with this one. This is equally tough to call, in my opinion.
It's a tricky one, yeah. I mean, you've got Brighton at first glance. They might look a little bit short when you're looking at the positions in the league. You know, Brighton seventh, Forest third. But Mark was kind of alluding to it a couple of minutes ago there about the way Nuno may play this. Champions League qualification is it was unthinkable for Forest even after that great start they had. Now we're getting so far into the season, it's become a real, there's a fantastic opportunity now, and that's going to be transformational for them as a club, really, the profile and the money that will bring in, you know, especially with a new format. Now you're guaranteed 8 games, you know, in the league phase. I just think their focus is going to be on that. He's been doing it right through the competition, you know, playing kind of second string teams at Exeter, where they nearly got knocked out, against Ipswich at home, where they nearly got knocked out. Both of them went to penalties. And Brighton, I mean, looking at their games, and they're taking it a lot more seriously, if you like. The Chelsea home game, they played fantastic, deservedly got through the tie. And I'm actually going to go with Brighton, even at odds on. You think back to that loss at Forest where they lost 7-0. The balance of the Brighton team wasn't right that day. They went with an ultra attacking lineup. Since then, they've had 6 wins on the trot. Then went on and drew 2-2 at Manchester City, where they came from behind twice to get a result. So they're on a fantastic run of form, Brighton. And I just think that an FA Cup quarterfinal should be important to both clubs, but I do think it's a bigger game and a bigger deal for Brighton than it is for Forest. I think Forest's eggs in the main are in the Champions League qualifying basket.
I know Chris Wood has been back in New Zealand during the international break with some important World Cup qualifying matches there as well, Mark. I just wonder whether that sort of journey back and forward is not going to be ideal for him, whether Nuno, like we said, might be tempted to change things up front a little bit.
Yeah, well, was it Fiji or the Solomon Islands? They put away not the hardest stint Chris Wood will have in his career. You see, he got booked as well. He went into the crowd to sign autographs and got a yellow card for doing so. But, I think, you know, in terms of qualification, Oceania's not the toughest for New Zealand. Now Australia have moved over to Asia, but it makes this game really difficult, I think, for me and Dan to preview, and for anyone, to have a bet on until either Nuno names his team or kind of comes out in the pre-match press conference and declares, you know, what he's going to do. I think I don't know what Nuno is going to do. So we are second guessing it. I'd like to think an FA Cup quarterfinal is not a time to be resting too many players, but he might do, and it's hard for us to know at this stage. But Chris Wood travelling might be a problem. Murillo played for Brazil against Argentina as well. They got absolute tonking, didn't they, Brazil? So there is that for Nuno to consider, and I know the Champions League's a big deal, but I just think an FA Cup quarter final should be a big deal as well.
It should, no doubt about it. But we also have to point out that there is a midweek Premier League fixture list as well, isn't there? So that also comes into account. Dan, I mean, I just wonder that quite a few of the Brighton squad will still be there from when they previously missed out, of course, on lifting the trophy they'll look back at that game against Manchester United and think, if only. And I just wonder where that might give them a little bit of an extra incentive as well here.
Yeah, I think most players, it's just such a big game anyway, an FA Cup quarter final, especially for any club that's, you're not part of that kind of big six in the Premier League, where they, you know, often they're pushing for getting into the Champions League. I just think for most of the other clubs, not just the fans, but the players themselves, it's a massive deal. I don't think you can be any more motivated to win the game. But you just mentioned the midweek fixture. That was the clincher. That's the clincher for me. I think if Forest next week had only had a week and then a long wait going into the next Premier League game, I might have felt differently. But I just think having two Premier League games to come next week, you can't be certain what he's going to do, but give him the teams he's put out in the previous rounds and having those two Premier League games coming up, I'll be surprised, let's say, if he goes full strength.
Okay, so Dan's going with Brighton, edging towards the Seagulls. Mark, what are you looking at here?
Well, I'm going to go for Forest to qualify at 19-10 on the hope, because I think there is definitely something in the prices here that I think people are expecting Nuno to shuffle the pack. If he goes completely weak, then I think Brighton are a good bet. If he plays a mix and match team, then prices, I think, are about right. If it's sort of stronger than maybe people are anticipating, then Forest come into play. And we know that they're good at penalties, that they've already shown that in this competition already. There's not much between them sort of on expected goals this season. It's more in hope than expectation, but I think the prices are indicating that there'll be some changes, and I'm just going to sort of hope more than expect that that's not the case.
Okay, well, they are the two quarterfinals to look forward to on Saturday. Two more, of course, on Sunday. Slightly later kickoff time for the early one. It's 1:30 at Deepdale for Preston against Aston Villa. Preston, the last of the teams from outside of the Premier League left in the tournament. Preston 11-2 to claim the victory here. Aston Villa 12-25 to win in 90 minutes and 130 for the draw. Ordinarily, Mark, your general punter will be turning around and saying, surely this is Villa's to win. Is it going to be as straightforward maybe as it looks on paper?
I think Villa will be happy with the draw. I don't think it's straightforward. I mean, Preston have proven themselves to be sort of awkward opponents in terms of the Championship this season. They've got a good home record. And, you know, Aston Villa, and Unai Emery's got sort of decisions to make because, you know, they're still, you know, in the hunt for European qualification. They've also, the week after, they've got Champions League quarterfinal against Paris Saint-Germain that could be season-defining for the club. So, will he play absolute full strength? Will he try to manage everyone's minutes over the course of the kind of next couple of weeks? Hard to say. I mean, he's sort of renowned, isn't he, as an expert juggler of resources, and sort of, you know, it's one of his real strengths is his ability to fight on multiple fronts. He's got a very good cup record. I would expect Aston Villa to get through. I think there are probably sort of better ways to back Villa, and probably better, I would say they're about 2-5. There's better sort of 1-2, 2-5 shots, I would have thought, on the coupon as well. Because as we've said earlier, you don't need to win in 90 minutes. And if it is a draw after 70, 75 minutes, that desperation that you might get if Villa were looking for maximum points in a game isn't necessarily going to be there. I mean, you go back to the third round, do you remember Tottenham played Tamworth, and that was a draw after 90 minutes, but Spurs knew that they had that had the resources to let it go to what, 120. And I do think that mindset makes it sort of slightly, I would say, more risky for anyone sort of steaming into short prices.
For those who are tuning in to watch this week's show, Dan, and haven't seen much of Preston this season, what can we kind of expect from them, and how do you think Paul Heckenbottom might, you know, take this game on?
Well, they're quite defensively. They're a strong side. A lot of draws in the Championship. Only lost two games at home, so they are tough to beat at Deepdale. I think they got through a League Cup tie on penalties against Fulham earlier in the season. I think Fulham rested I think it was virtually a second string Fulham outfit.
Yeah, and I think that penalty shootout still going on. It was,
that was incredible, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah. How many penalties was it? It was in the
20s. Nearly a record. Yeah. I think it was.
And I think Arsenal went there, didn't they, and won in the round afterwards 3-0. But I mean, they're running in the cup. They've had quite a bit of luck with the draw. I mean, you talked about being the only non-Premier League team through, but a lot of this is the first Premier League team they're actually going to be playing as well. They've played at home to Charlton, home to Wickham, Burnley at home, which might have seemed difficult on paper, but then Burnley basically played the reserve, so that gave them a better chance in that match as well. So they've had a nice little run through. All three of those draws were at home as well. At Wickham, they needed penalties as well to get through that tie. So what I would say is that in the Championship, they haven't really got a great deal to play for. Clearly, they're going to be up for the game anyway. Everything's going to be thrown at it for them for a cup quarterfinal, but they're not going to go up. They're not going to go down. But I would say they can be tricky opponents for Aston Villa, but certainly Aston Villa, you would expect to have the quality over the course of the game. As Mark mentioned, we're talking about what team Emery's going to put out. Part of that could be influenced as well by the fact he knows he's got extra time. He can kind of like maybe have some of the cavalry waiting on the subs bench and bring them on as the game goes on. That's another danger, as Mark's mentioned, about going steaming into Villa at a short price to win in 90 minutes. And a lot of their better players could be starting on the bench.
There's a few Rothmans books behind Mark today for the assist. And if you dusted down some of the dust off them, you'd see that these two teams were relatively regular winners back in the black and white days, Mark. So, you know, it is going a bit of a historic look at this game at Deepdale. But in terms of value, you mentioned there maybe better bets than Villa. But what would you be looking at in terms of a bet here?
I would just say that I'm in the office today, so I'm behind the bookcase that has got a few Rothmans, mainly form books going back many, many years from a racing point of view. So, it might be easier to find the winners if I'm looking at the form book from 1984. I might finally be able to back a winner over the jumps. But in terms of this game, I'm going for Aston Villa to win and under 3.5 goals. Arsenal went there to Deepdale and were 3-0 winners in the end. But if you have a look at it, they're unbeaten at home in 15, Preston. So they are sort of, competing well in the Championship at home. Ollie Watkins has been a fitness doubt. Will he be risked? I expect some rotation from Aston Villa just organically anyway. So over the course of 90 minutes, I think Villa can win, but it might be more in keeping with the sort of victory they had over Cardiff in the previous round where, a bit of a battle early on and then they get the job done. So Villa to win and under 3.5 goals.
And Dan, what's your best bet for this?
I've got exactly the same. Villa to win under 3.5 goals. I think the Cardiff point is very good. I think, they had quite a few of their better players on the bench in that game, kind of started quite slow, got stronger as the game went on, scored both of their goals, won 2-0. Both the goals come in the second half. This is a bit tougher because it's away from home, but I still think they'll probably get the job done in 90. I wouldn't be as confident in that to be putting Villa in any accumulator bets, but to boost the price, Villa and under 3.5 goals, that would be my selection.
Okay, well, last but certainly not least, it's a 4:30 kickoff at the Vitality Stadium for Bournemouth against Manchester City, which many onlookers might class as the pick of the ties. Bournemouth 9-5 to win in 90 minutes. Manchester City 7-5, and the draw is 5-2. And Bournemouth have already beaten City, of course, in the league. Earlier on in the campaign, Dan, you have to say the home form hasn't been that great over recent weeks, though. Is that a bit of a concern for you?
I think so, yes, yeah. Because they watched the game against Brentford that they lost 2-1. Brentford, I thought, caused them quite a few problems and probably deserved a win by the end. So, the game before that, when they drew at Spurs, I thought they were outstanding in that game at Spurs, should have won. But you are talking now, it's a bit of a poor run though that they've kind of got on now. I think it's five games now in total without a win, most of them defeats. So there's a bit of a rocky spell. Man City is still not consistent, are they? Twice took the lead against Brighton and were pegged back, drew that game 2-2. I do feel Man City are playing better, certainly better than they were first half of the season, though. And I think the FA Cup, I'll throw it out there, is just a massive deal for them now. Clearly, they're going to be pushing for, got work to do yet, quite a bit of it in the race for Champions League qualification. but I don't see them taking this game lightly. I think they're going to be desperate to you know, kind of make amends for a difficult season by winning a trophy.
I watched that game against Brighton, Mark, and I have to say, I saw the City lineup and I was expecting a big performance from them. I thought they might, you know, put a performance in that would maybe frighten Bournemouth a little bit ahead of the FA Cup. But I have to say, Brighton probably should have won that game overall.
Yeah, it was another relatively flat performance. You know, there have been excuses, I think, for some of City's subdued shows throughout the campaign, and you know, they had injuries, then the new players were bedding in, you know, blah blah blah. There wasn't that many excuses for. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was not a performance that suggested, right, we're definitely getting Champions League football. And if anything, Brighton were slightly brighter. It would concern me. I think that can Guardiola raise the troops now? You know, because they've been so used to winning sort of bigger prizes. I do agree with Dan that, you know, the FA Cup is monumental to their season now, and you know, a trophy can paper over some of the cracks. But I do wonder whether the fire is in the bellies of some of these players that have won absolutely everything. The 2-1 favourites to win the FA Cup, I think you could look at their sort of squad, look at what's left, and say that's a good bet. You know, 2-1 to beat this mob that's remaining. You could also look at it and just say, well, like, they've look at their performances and results against the teams that are still left in it. As you mentioned earlier, they've already lost at Bournemouth. They lost at Nottingham Forest. They lost at Aston Villa. Crystal Palace have caused them some problems as well. Fulham lost 3-2, but with a better side at the Etihad. It was just Adama Traore had one of these days, you know, jigsaw falling to pieces in the box. But they haven't got great record against sort of most of the teams that are left in the competition. So still plenty of hard work for them to do. Regular assist followers will know that, you know, Bournemouth were the selection at the start. So fingers crossed that the Cherries can get the job done. You know, was hoping for an easier draw. Would have loved Preston at home. It's, you know, it is what it is, but certainly not giving up hope that Bournemouth can knock City out. And if they do, absolutely wide open for whoever's left.
I was speaking to somebody who'd seen Bournemouth a few times recently, Dan, and suggested that maybe there was a bit of tiredness setting in, maybe a bit of rotation, particularly in the attacking positions, might be needed. But I wonder whether Iraola might decide to stick with the players that have kind of got them where they are at the moment.
I think he will. I mean, I think with Bournemouth, the squad, it's not massive depth in the squad anyway. You still, their injury situation has improved to what it was about a month ago, but there's still not huge resources for them, you know, coming off the bench. I just think he will. He pretty much knows, you know, about 9 of his 11 are his strongest team and are going to play. For me, I've got reservations about Man City, absolutely, but it's just one of them where I look at the prices. The price has just got too big for me. 7-5 City. They have got, you know, the better players, you know, when it comes to match winning moments. And I think, in, you know, it could be a tight game of ding dong, you know, not a lot to choose between the teams. But I just think in the moments that matter, they may have a little bit too much.
OK, Dan's going with City. I've got the feeling that you might, with what you said, Mark, still stick with Bournemouth. I mean, we've stuck with them since the start of the tournament.
I'm going to go for under 3.5 goals in this game. I mean, it used to be, didn't it? Over under 2.5 was like the regulation line. It's sort of over under 3.5. It's 7-10 for under 3.5 goals. Bournemouth, 12 of their 14 home games this season have been under 3.5 goals. And Man City have played 2 Premier League away games since they had that disaster at Arsenal. I don't think there's any question that Pep Guardiola has tried to tighten City up and make them less entertaining, if you want. You know, and both of those games were 1-0. They won 1-0 at Spurs. They lost 1-0 at Forest. And like, I just think it is a big game for both teams. And like, Bournemouth at times absolutely ripped City apart in that sort of Premier League game. And Guardiola's going to nullify those threats. Kirkez, I don't expect them to be playing risky football at all. I think it, you know, two sort of different styles of play, but kind of with the same ethos, might cancel each other out. And it might actually not be as exciting a game as what it looks like on paper. So under 3.5 goals.
Okay, well, that is our thoughts then on the FA Cup quarterfinals. I have to say, I've not looked forward to the quarterfinals as much as this in a long time. I think there's some cracking matches or good matchups to look forward to. So fingers crossed it lives up to expectations. Of course, Premier League action returns in midweek, as we said, and we're going to give you best bets from both Mark and Dan for those fixtures. Just to mark your card, firstly, that there are four games taking place on Tuesday evening. Arsenal against Fulham, Bournemouth versus Ipswich, Wolves against West Ham, and Nottingham Forest play host to Manchester United. A whole raft of games on Wednesday as well, five in total. Brighton against Aston Villa, Manchester City host Leicester, Newcastle against Brentford, Southampton face Crystal Palace, and Liverpool against Everton in the Merseyside derby. And then just the one game on Thursday, but it's a cracker to look forward to at Stamford Bridge when Chelsea play host to Tottenham. Mark, out of all of those fixtures, where's your best bet for the midweek action?
Well, I think producer Ben, a Chelsea season ticket holder, would like me to say that it's Chelsea to beat Tottenham, but and that they probably will, in fairness. They usually do. But on the Wednesday, I thought Crystal Palace should have been shorter than 4-6 to beat Southampton at St Mary's. Like how bad does Southampton have to get before people sort of realise that they're shocking? They've lost 11 of their last 12 games in the Premier League. That included last time out against the Wolves team that was missing Cunha. They were even beaten in the FA Cup by a reserve Burnley team that in the next round went out comfortably to Preston. So I know form lines don't work it exactly like that, but we're talking about a team here. Because they're low on confidence, that you couldn't fancy them to beat after Championship that the way it's going. Crystal Palace, obviously, they've got a big game on Saturday, but Saturday to Wednesday should be enough time to recover. It might not be the most glamorous game on the midweek card, but I thought Crystal Palace were the best bet.
And Dan, a full fixture list to look at. What's your best bet?
Yeah, my one's not the most glamorous either, but I'm going to go with West Ham drawing a bet away to Wolves. Odds against, that caught my eye. I just think there has been improvement under Graham Potter. They seem to be playing better away from home as well. Some of the home performances, they kind of struggle to get a tempo out. I've noted away from home, the 1-0 win at Arsenal was really impressive. A decent performance as well at Everton. I can just, their away performances are improving quite quickly. And Wolves, as Mark just mentioned, still no Matheus Cunha. I think his ban got extended to four games. This will be the third match of it. And the two games so far without him, they've had a 1-1 draw at home to Everton and that 2-1 win away to Southampton. As Mark just mentioned about how poor Southampton are, winning 2-1 there is not necessarily the greatest result and the greatest performance. So I just think West Ham, with the improvement that they've had and how strong they're looking away from home, odds against, away to a team that are 8 points above in the league as well, is worth taking.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with that. I also think, by the way, that Brentford are a big price at Newcastle, which could be a bit of after the Lord Mayor's show following the EFL Cup. They've got Anthony Gordon likely to be out. Hall also missing as well through injury. I noticed that Brentford are about 23-20 double chance at St James's Park. So that might be worth considering for midweek as well. So a whole list of Premier League action to look forward to in midweek. Up next for us, it's the EFL.
Do you want football free bets? All the best offers from your favourite bookmakers can be found in one place. Check out racingpost.com/free-bets to find out more. Racing Post, stay ahead of the field.
Well, this week's EFL Match in Focus takes place on Friday evening. It's a big game at the top end of the Championship table with Sheffield United play host to Coventry. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff Friday night at Bramall Lane. Second against fifth in the battle, of course, for promotion. The Sky Blues have lost just one the last five meetings with the two sides. The Blades, one win in the last three home matches. Could there be a bit of an upset here, Dan, or do we think that Sheffield United will get another big 3 points in their battle for promotion?
I think there will be. I don't even know if I'd call it an upset, really, because I think Coventry, my tip is Coventry or draw double chance, so to Coventry to avoid defeat. They've actually taken Coventry the highest number of points in the Championship in 2025, 31 points. So that just shows you how well they're playing. 10 wins in the last 12 Championship matches. And in a league of like the Championship, which is so competitive and hard to get on winning runs. That is a hell of an effort for them. And they've done it at times without some key players. Hadji Wright, big player for them, has been injured. He recently come back and he got a hat-trick in a 3-0 win at home to Sunderland before the international break. So they're in really good form. I would expect them, they've got themselves into the playoffs now, 2 points inside the top six. I would fancy them to get to finish in those playoffs, Coventry. Frank Lampard, just to mention there, he's done a lot of reservations, including from myself, really, when he took the job. He'd had, you know, difficult times in charge of Everton and Chelsea, but he had done a decent job in the Championship with Derby before, and he's doing a very good job with Coventry, as has to be said. Sheffield United they've done great in grinding the results out. We mustn't forget that with a 2-point deduction, they've actually gathered the most points of any team in the league. You know, they're joint top with Leeds at the moment on 80 points in a 3-way battle for those top two positions. Burnley are 2 points behind them. But a lot of their results are a grind. 7 of their last 8 wins have been by a single goal. Got a great 1-0 win away to Sheffield Wednesday before the break. And I just think at home, they have been dropping a few more points recently. Mm. 3 home defeats have all come this side of Christmas. There's a bit of vulnerability there. I remember Hull going there not too long ago and beating them 3-0. I just think that Bristol City, their last home game, got a 1-1 draw there. And Coventry, I think, are probably a slightly better side than Bristol City. So Coventry to get at least a point.
Yeah, double chance for Coventry is 8-11, by the way. And in terms of the prices for the full-time results, Sheffield United 21-20, Coventry 13-5, and the draw 23-10. Well, that's our EFL match in focus. We'll go to the EFL selections now. And Dan's got 3 for us to choose from as ever. And who's your first pick this week, Dan?
Yeah, going to start off in League One with Peterborough, draw no bets, away to Reading. Now Peterborough probably got... Well, no, probably about, they've got less to play for than Reading. They've kind of got a nice little gap now to the relegation zone. They were dragged into trouble a while back, but they're now 8 games undefeated in all competitions, going really, really strongly. A fantastic win at home to Charlton, 3-0 last weekend. Charlton have been one of the form teams in League One. So they're absolutely flying, Peterborough. I think they're going to be looking to keep that momentum going now. They've got an EFL trophy final against Wrexham, to look forward to next month. So they want to be, you know, in good heart going into that game. And they're against a Reading team that are kind of unbelievably, with all the off-field issues they've had, they're hanging on in there in the race for the playoffs, Reading. But some of their performances haven't been that great. Drew at home to Exeter wasn't a fantastic performance. A draw away to Crawley as well in recent times. So although they're on a bit of an unbeaten run, Reading, a lot of those performances in there haven't been that great. So I just think Peterborough, Kwame Poku, who's recently come back from injury as well, they're absolutely flying. I think they'll get the job done in that game. Yep, going to carry on, continuing to League Two with Salford to win away to Bromley. Both of these two teams got an outside chance of getting into the playoffs. Salford are a point better off, played a game less. So they've got probably a better chance. Last time out, had a fantastic 1-0 win away to Grimsby. Were worthy winners against a team that was sitting in the playoff positions. I think they can go and win away to Bromley. Bromley's, they've had a fantastic season since going up from the National League. Signs recently, though, that their form's starting to dip a little bit. Lost 2-1 away to Carlisle last weekend. The shot count in that game was 20-12 in favour of Carlisle. So Carlisle, the bottom team, really battered them really during the game. So Bromley looked like their form's dipped a bit. I think Salford, who have got a lot of their players back from injury now, can go and win there. Finally, he's going to stick in the same division. I'm going to go with MK Dons to win at home to Fleetwood. MK Dons had a midweek 2-2 draw away to Carlisle. As I mentioned there, Carlisle at the bottom of the league but have been improving. So there's no disgrace in that. Last weekend, they won 1-0 away to Cheltenham. So there's a bit of improvement to MK Dons under their interim manager, Ben Gladwin. I think they can continue this against Fleetwood, they've got issues up front at the moment. They're kind of mid-table in the table. Ryan Graydon and Ronan Coughlin, who are their main two strikers, both out injured for the rest of the season. You could see they were lacking those, that incisive edge up front last weekend when they drew 0-0 at home to Tranmere. So Fleetwood not got much in them going forward. I think MK Dons are improving, can beat them at home.
Okay, so Dan's 3 EFL picks for this week: Peterborough, Salford and MK Dons. Time for Mark now to give us his bet builder. And I think this is going to be for Bournemouth Man City, Mark.
Yeah, so we are going to go to the Vitality first leg of it. Tavernier to have a shot on target. He's had a shot on target in five of his last six matches. There's a vibrancy to when Bournemouth get the ball. They like to get it forward and sort of get shots off. Savinho of Manchester City has been trusted by Pep Guardiola in recent weeks, and he's had 9 shots in his last 3 games. I'm going for him to have a shot on target alongside Tavernier. He is slightly erratic, I think, with his finishing, but the shot volume's up, so hopefully he can get one on target. And then to finish it off, and it'll come to around about 14-1, is Semenyo to be carded. Semenyo's been one of the stars of the Premier League season, but he's also on the dirty side as well. He's had 9 yellow cards in the Premier League this season. Bournemouth are the team that's committed the most fouls in the Premier League as well. It's a clear tactic from Iriola. They press high, and when you beat the press, they commit fouls. It was something that Pep Guardiola became famous for, or infamous for, you know, Man City and at Barcelona. And they've both been taught really from Bielsa in terms of sort of Guardiola references Bielsa a lot in sort of his philosophy. And Iriola played under Bielsa, and that was one of the things that Bielsa used to do when the press didn't work. So Tavernier to have a shot on target, Savinho to have a shot on target, and Semenyo to be booked.
Okay, well, that's Mark's bet builder for this week. He's also got a prop shot. I'll let you into a little secret. I've seen this, and I really fancy it as well, Mark, now you've put it forward.
Yeah, so if you go back to the sort of I think it was the first show after the January transfer window had closed, and you were asked us for the kind of, you know, the highlights or one to watch. And Dan picked out Asensio from Aston Villa as somebody that he thought was a really good signing. And so it's proving. So he's 13-2 to score the first goal against Preston. And he's had a brilliant time of it. He's got 7 goals for Aston Villa in his last 265 minutes of action. Doesn't always start, but this is the sort of game where you think he probably will. And it's not, you know, sort of a fluke, I don't think, really, the amount of his goal return, because he's shooting a lot as well. He's had 12 shots in those 265 minutes. Now, obviously, you can't, you know, that rate will slow down, 7 goals from the last 12 shots. But I actually think the shot volume is decent, you know, dropping down against Championship. He's a quality player that's played for Real Madrid, for Spain and Paris Saint-Germain. And yeah, I thought 13-2 might be overpriced for him to get the opener.
Okay, well, we're going to move on now to the assist treble, and we will start with a selection from each 3 of us. So we'll start with Dan's pick first, then Mark, then myself. Dan, who's your assist treble pick this week?
Yeah, play up Pompey. We're going to kick off with Portsmouth home to Blackburn. Fortress Fratton Park's been crucial for them, really, in their survival bids. 9 of their 11 wins have come there. Beat Leeds 1-0 there as well, the last home winner. Fantastic performance. It's a tough place for any Championship team to go to. And the Blackburn are going there, and they're struggling, really, since Valerian Ismail's gone in there. Only 1 point in 4 games under the new manager. A 2-1 loss at home to struggling side Cardiff before the break. So not great form for them going away to Portsmouth. I fancy Portsmouth to beat them.
Okay, so Portsmouth for Dan. Mark, who's your selection?
I'm also in the EFL this week, Warren. I'm going for Stockport to beat Burton. Now, I think Burton are improving. You know, it still looks like they're going to be relegated. But even despite the fact that they picked up, they still have lost 3 of their last 7 games. There's a big quality difference between themselves and Stockport. Stockport have won 4 of their last 5 at home. Had a setback, I suppose, last time out against Wrexham. But that's a difficult away game. I watched them in the previous away game when they won at Bolton, defended brilliantly, looked lively sort of in the forward positions as well. And I was really sort of taken by their performance on that occasion. What was a difficult game, of course, away to Bolton. So this is a drop down in class, and I expect Stockport to carry on their sort of, whether it's a playoff or promotion push, you know, maybe it's both against Burton.
Some goal, that winning strike as well for Stockport.
That was an
absolute beauty. I don't normally like to go against Dan, but I am on this occasion, because I'm going to go with Bromley to beat Salford from his selections earlier on, of course, in the EFL. But 6-4, slightly tempted by the price, really. I know what Dan was saying about maybe recent form. I think at home, they've collected 10 points from the last 5 And the only defeat came against Bradford in that sort of run that was a victory over Doncaster and also a draw with leaders Walsall as well. I like to go for games where there's something riding on it at this stage of the season. Both of these two teams, of course, going for the playoffs, as Dan mentioned earlier on. I think just the 5 wins in 18 league away games for Salford is a concern for me as well. They've won 1 of the last 7. I'm just thinking that home advantage might well just nudge it towards Bromley. And as I say, it's 6-4. That is the temptation for me there. So we're going with Portsmouth, we're going with Stockport, and we're going with Bromley in terms of the assist. And then we've got the Naps, of course, for this week as well. Dan, we'll start with your Nap.
Salford to beat Bromley is my Nap. I'm going to... I just think Salford, as I mentioned, they had a lot of injuries. The run you were mentioning there, Warren, a lot of those players are back now. They won 1-0 at Grimsby, as I mentioned last time out. It was a very strong performance. They deserved to win that game. And Bromley, they're pretty strong at home, but they've only got a point in the last 3 games. 2 of those defeats in those last 3 were against struggling sides Carlisle and Tranmere. I just think Salford might have a little bit too much.
Okay, so Dan's going with Salford. And Mark, who's your Nap of the week?
Going for Italian bet this weekend, going for Roma to win at Lecce. Lecce fighting relegation. They're kind of even worse on XG. They're second bottom on XG. They've lost 4 in a row. Good opportunity for Roma to sort of carry on as they sort of mount an unlikely sort of push for Champions League qualification. They're really motoring under Claudio Ranieri, won 9 of their last 11 games in Serie A. The 2 that they didn't win were against top 4 teams, Napoli and Bologna. I mean, the only reason to be nervous, really, a shade of odds on, is Dybala's out for Roma, but it always feels like he's injured anyway. He's not somebody you can massively rely on. They were knocked out of the Europa League, but just before the international break, but Mats Hummels was sent off really early on in that game away to Athletic Bilbao that completely changed the course of the tie because they were in control of it at that point. Everything now really rests on sort of how high up they can finish in Serie A, and I think under sort of Ranieri, he's getting a tune out of them. So yeah, Roma to win at Lecce.
Okay, well, a big thanks to Mark and Dan for all their input this week. It should be a fascinating weekend of FA Cup and EFL action. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment. And if you do like your golf, well, make sure you watch The Sweet Spot every Tuesday on the Racing Post YouTube channel as the build-up continues to the Masters. Steve Palmer, of course, will give you his insights as to what's going on both on the DP World Tour and on the PGA Tour. We'll be back with the assist next Thursday. In the meantime, enjoy your football this weekend, and please remember to gamble responsibly.